Hey, everybody.
Hi. Hello.
Have you heard the news? Bat and Spider's back. Don't get the blues. Sorry, Chuck. That's just me trying to wing it, you know?
No, yeah. It's better than what I had. I was going to make some joke about how we're going to sell the show by advertising how tired we are right now. So tired.
I mean, yeah, we're like the biggest loads, you know, nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear us when we're at this levels of, and daylight savings is, you know, loads. Affecting us even further.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's later than, yeah.
Okay. For this week for the show, old Dale picked out a movie called Kill Baby Kill by Mario Bava.
Bava.
Garbage Sherpa herself, Anna Gould, back in June of 2020. The dark days. I love the detail of the witch putting a coin in the hearts of the corpses as a way to ward off the Baroness's spirit or whatever it does, question mark. We're going to get into that because, right, not to pull back the curtain too much, but there was some talk about the witch of this movie before we hit record, so... Before we get into Kill Baby Kill, Mario Bava, we get into, you know, other
life
things
stuff.
And the like.
This is the this is the Chuck and Dale diary portion of the show where we unload our personal problems or our obstacles from the past week that we've went through, our obsessions, our sorrows. Obsessions and sorrows. That's what this is called. That's what this section is called.
Wow. That's another great podcast name too.
Yeah.
So we'll start it out as the name of the chapter in the podcast app, but then, you know, we could pivot that for another Saturday show or something.
Spin-off, yeah. Or just rename this show.
But then we'd be sick and talk about it and then we wouldn't do it good as a job. What's going on? What's cooking, Cookie?
I think I have a lot to talk. I mean, a lot I could talk about.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I saw a bunch of movies. It was Halloween since we last talked, right?
It was.
We went through Halloween.
Went through Halloween.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I had an interesting Halloween. So here's the deal. All month, Dale knows this. I don't know if I mentioned it on air, but I haven't been getting the Halloween spirit for all of October. Just never came.
Yeah.
But 31st rolls around. It's just the excitement's in the air, and it kind of hit me. It did finally kind of hit me.
And that's
I
great.
Felt the spirit that night. And it really helped that I watched, Melissa and I sat down, we watched. So there's this film director, Werner Herzog, who young people know that as a meme on the internet, but he's a real life movie director and writer. And he's on Conan's show. There's clips of him everywhere being interviewed because he's got a new book out.
Yeah.
Which I have on
Jack
hold.
Reacher. Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher. Yeah, star of Jack Reacher and Star Wars. Werner Herzog, 80-year-old German man. He's got a new book out, so he's making the rounds. So I thought, you know what? I've never seen his 1979 horror movie he did, Nosferatu the Vampire.
Oh, wow.
Convince Melissa to play along.
Yeah.
Because whenever I suggest watching a horror movie, the first question out of her mouth is it scary? And I laugh, say, well,
yeah,
maybe, probably not the type of scary that you're referring to, I think, you know?
Right.
Thankfully, this one was not the type of scary she didn't want to see. But Dale, have you seen this movie? Have you seen this movie?
I've never seen this movie. Never.
I couldn't believe it. I loved this movie top to bottom.
Ooh.
Loved it.
Wow.
It's again, much like spoilers, for our Kofi episode in the movie we discuss in this very much like this, I was like, I held the original 1922 Nosferatu in high esteem. And I just had, even though it's Werner Herzog, I just had little interest and seeing another version of it because I just love that original so much. I hold it so dear that I put this off till I was 41 years old and finally I'm like, all right, I'll watch it.
You opened yourself up.
It's incredible. I mean, it is not, you know, there's nods to that movie, but it is very much its own thing. And it's, what he does, he really embraces the, like that old European culture. Like they do a thing where to protect, or to keep a vampire from leaving a spot in the room, they crumple up, the communion wafers. They crumple up communion wafers in a line around him. So this vamp, he's stuck in the corner. He can't walk. And it's like, it's got funny, him. But it's also like, that's like an old timey, like superstitious old world thing that this movie is full of. I love it. And they gave Klaus Kinski plays Nosferatu, and he's got his ears look just like bat ears. Like they just, you know, molded big bat ears and put them on him.
Yeah.
And the suckling sounds just, there's a scene towards the end where you finally see him hook into a young lady's neck and suckle. And it is like, it's God. Like you're watching, like if vampires are real, like you're watching like a real nature show of a disgusting animal, just like hook in to an artery.
Oh my God.
And the sounds and the quivering motion.
The mouth, the front, the head motion that Chuck did when he said hook in.
That's what
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It was raw. It was real.
That's what this movie
Chuck was
gives
hooking
you.
In.
That's what it gives you. Yeah. Enjoyable experience. Top to bottom. Highly recommend it. It's great.
Guess what, Chuck? Putting on my watch list.
Good. I also watched Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Watched the Garfield's Halloween Adventure, which was a big hit when we were kids and the Forrest and household. We'd always go, candy, 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 candy. Every Halloween we'd say that. That's what Garfield said.
That's what Garfield, Garfield would say, man. I when you logged that, I was like, oh my God. Everything came flooding back to me with my mom, like, you know, me and my sister watching with my mom.
It's on Peacock, baby. My favorite streaming service. And I also watched Beavis and Butthead. Well, this has two titles. I forget what the one I watched, but I think the rest of the world knows it as Beavis and Butthead, Butt-O-Ween.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's just fantastic Butthead. You know, like,
man.
They're just wandering around trick-or-treat night. You know, it's stupid.
Perfect.
Cornholio happens because they like go to this one. They're trying to trick or for most of it is they're trying to trick or treat, but everyone's denying them because they're too old. But finally, they realize they need to go to a stupid person's house, so they go to Mr. Anderson's house, and he's talking some bullshit. But then the phone rings, and he goes and answers the phone, and then they just have access to the candy bowl, and Beavis eats all of it, and then turns into Cornholio, and it's just wandering around.
My God.
And then they meet up with this like this hillbilly killer at the end. Is this giant man?
Oh,
like
just
a couple teeth left in his head. And he's like, oh,
this.
Oh, hey. You know, he's got this weird breathy voice, and he lures the dumb teenagers into his barn to slaughter them. It's incredible. I think it ends with them dying, which is fantastic.
Wow.
God, I love Beavis and Butthead so much.
Yeah. That's incredible. I was like, wow, this takes me back. It all takes. So I loved that you like relived a Halloween. You like jammed in, a Halloween season from 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
in a day. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It turned into a really great Halloween. Yeah, I have to say.
I'm glad.
Ate way too much candy too.
What a way to go.
How about you, Dale? What's been happening?
This is one I wasn't going to talk about, but you brought up Werner Herzog randomly, and randomly this week I watched a video clip of him in the Grizzly Man documentary that he made. I don't know any. I know obviously of the Grizzly Man, and I didn't know he made a documentary about it, but I watched a clip of him listening to the audio of Grizzly Man dying to the grizzlies, and him flinching in front of Grizzly Man's girlfriend, and he says to her, never play this for anyone because it was that horrific.
Oh, man.
That's crazy that like just days ago I watched that and I don't know. I forget why it came up and why I had to research. I was like, what is he talking about, Grizzly Man? But yeah, that was a crazy.
Man.
I want to talk about, I watched for the first time in 20 years, Sin City, the movie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the first time I had seen Sin City, I had never read any of Frank Miller's Sin City.
Oh, okay.
And I have probably haven't read Sin City in probably 5 years or something like that. But I was so in love with Sin City, the book. But I got to appreciate the movie. I mean, I knew what the movie was trying to accomplish when I watched it the first time with the lack of color and the whitest whites and the darkest darks, like the inky black instead of, but
yeah,
I thought it was, the movie holds up. It's a fantastic movie in my opinion.
Cool. I probably haven't seen it since it came out.
Yeah.
And I've never seen the sequel. What's the story on that? You ever see that?
I've never seen it. No, but you know what? I forgot. It kind of flew in. I realized they made a sequel, but it was, I just realized that it was, you know, like 9 years after the original. So it kind of made me happy that maybe like Robert Rodriguez kind of had it in his, you know, like in his motivation to eventually revisit Sin City.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember it. Not like it, the fanfare the first one got did not come back for the second one. Just the excitement wasn't there, probably.
Because, which is crazy because it sounds like everybody comes back in the cast.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe it's, maybe, you know, when you're using, you know, when your movie is that like visual trick, it's like, you know,
maybe
it's like, how do you get people excited for a second time around?
Maybe that's a good point.
Maybe that was, I don't know. And maybe they had started making more comic book movies by then where it wasn't so much of a novelty.
And it's probably like, you know, well, if this isn't a Marvel superhero jumping out at me.
Yeah.
Maybe it just kind of flew in, you know, under the radar. But it felt amazing going back. Rucker looked amazing.
Oh, wow. Rucker's in it. Oh, my God. Who does he play?
Rucker is like the Cardinal.
Oh, that's good casting. Yeah.
Who
plays the yellow bastard?
That's Nick Stahl.
Oh, from Terminator 3? That Nick Stahl?
Yep. Wow. Yep. He did a great job. Everybody did a fantastic job. I loved Clive Owen and Benicio.
Oh yeah.
That was a long vignette, but man, I just love Frank Miller's like world building that he built in the graphic novels.
Oh,
I just love, they're so amazing.
Every few years I dig those out and get re-obsessed with them. Those were very, I remember buying them off. I think I started reading Dame to Kill For, I think, when that was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully my comic shop was cool and they weren't weird about not selling Frank Miller books to kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I was probably old. I probably looked older than I actually was, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why I got away with it. But yeah, those were just, I mean, just that the stark chiaroscuro Frank Miller art is just, it blew my mind open when I saw those.
Talk about
as
it.
As a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like, you know, not, he was very much influenced by this artist, Jose Munoz, who did, he's a Spanish artist. Mm-hmm. But you should dig up some of those, some of his works. Cause you can be like, oh yeah. Okay. This is where Frank kind of, got that look that he was going for.
Jose Munoz.
Yeah. The books are Jose Munoz and, Sam Poyo is the writer. I think someone, IDW, Alack Sinner are the books. I think IDW put out 2 volumes of all of them.
Thank you.
Back. But like all the stories are about, I think they're all about Alexander. He's just like a tough detective. And, you know, you look at drawings of him and you're like, oh, that could be Marv.
Yeah.
But yeah, nice. I remember when I went to Luca, comic festival there, I got to meet him and I was like shaking.
Whoa.
I was like,
really?
Yeah. I think I ate dinner. I got put at some dinner table with him and, Walt Simonson and Louise Simonson, Jose Munoz, and some other people. I was just like freaking out.
My God.
Oh,
that's amazing.
It's a dream. Yeah.
Can you imagine me a couple beers at that table? I would be unhinged.
Oh God.
You know,
I wish you could have been there. Yeah. We would have been the stars at that table when you got done telling your jokes.
Oh my God. Everybody's scared for their lives because I don't know when to clam it up. Thanks for the recommendation. And Chuck, me bringing up Sin City.
Oh, yeah.
Was secretly hoping you would talk about Sin City. That's why I brought it up.
Oh, so good. Yeah. I remember I worked at this company with my older brother called The Ant Farm. Their specialty was movie trailers. And I remember Sin City was going into production. This company would do things to like get work. So like when the rumors of Sin City happened, they sent like my coworker Vinny out to buy a bunch of copies of Sin City, and his job was to razor blade out all the pages so he could scan them all in.
That is freaking cool.
They could give all the images to an editor so they could do like a mock-up trailer, you know, of what it would look like. And yeah, it's very exciting. That movie was so exciting. Like, it was like,
that's cool.
Yeah. There was something in the air.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to revisit that. Yeah. And I want to watch The Spirit because I know everyone shit on that, but, there's a few people in my sphere that say that's an awesome movie. And I just haven't seen it. So I want to see that.
Yeah. Real ones. No, I haven't seen that either, but you know, maybe it's because I haven't opened my heart up yet.
Yeah.
And maybe it's time.
Yeah, maybe it's time. Maybe we should hold hands and say it's time together.
Mm-hmm. It's time.
Maybe it's time for us to talk about our feature presentation.
King of the Segways. If you're just joining us, Chuck was just crowned King of the Segways.
What am I, Linus Tech Tips here? Ridge Wallet.
Linus, what phone did we end up buying you as a collective group?
Kill Baby Kill by Mario Bava. No! No! Let me tell you what this is about. This is about a medical doctor who gets called to this old-timey village. This is like turn of the century. It's a very Italian movie, but Dale, God help me if I know what country this is set in. They're throwing a lot of... you say Germanic words around, like Burgermeister and stuff like that, and hair.
Yep. Hair Burgermeister.
Hair Burgermeister. So who knows where this is? Doesn't matter. This guy gets called to this village to do an autopsy. And what he finds is a village kind of stuck in time. There, you know, maybe electricity hasn't even found its way here. So certainly things like science and technology haven't found their way here. And they are a superstitious lot in this neighborhood. And they're all scared because there is a laughing little girl haunting this village. Not just haunting, she's offing people left and right.
Yes.
And so what we got here is we got our good doctor, science versus superstition. That's your setup. And how can he comprehend what he doesn't believe in? And when everyone around him believes in these superstitious things,
it's a tough crowd.
Yeah, and that's basically it. This is an odd one. This is an odd one story wise because it's not a lot happens. Like there's started to listen to Tim Lucas's commentary. Apparently they had 30 pages of seemingly a script Was that a train?
Can you hear it?
I love that. I love that sound.
Oh, yeah.
You live by a train? Oh, you lucky duck. I mean, yeah. I live by trains. I never hear them.
It's usually around 11, 1130 nightly. I'm going to close my window.
Midnight train.
He's leaving.
Dale, why is the Page and Plant album, Walking to Clarksdale, why is that not available on streaming services? Have you noticed?
Yeah, that's weird because Led Zeppelin is.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Are they fighting about that? They kind of don't like each other again. So I wonder if that's some hold up there. Anyway, this is an odd one. Apparently it's heralded as one of Bava's best. And I can certainly see that in especially every inch of the way this movie looks, Dale. Bellissimo. Oh my God. This is the type of movie you're throwing a Halloween party and you want to do that cool thing where you play a movie on a projector just for background atmosphere. Every
beautiful
scene in this movie is dripping
with
cobwebs, old world, old Europe, crumbling stone, headstones, marble statues, cherub statues, beautiful
costumes,
women.
Beautiful women.
It's just got everything. It's got it all.
Yeah. It invokes, you're right. It invokes a mood.
Yeah.
When you're watching this and even though, you know, the color palette is very of one side of the spectrum, but everything looks visually distinct from one another and it all like pops off the screen. I don't know if this is I don't know if this was Technicolor. I know Black Sabbath was Technicolor. Mm. But it was beautiful. Where did I watch this, Chuck? Oh, I watched this on the Shout TV subscription I have in my Amazon Prime.
Okay.
I don't know if this is like the one digital copy that's out there. It's like all cleaned up. It was like mid cleaned up. It was like halfway cleaned up.
Okay.
It wasn't like some of the prettier ones we've watched recently, but
interesting. I mean, I have this on disc, the Kino.
Oh, cool.
Disc. And it looked pretty dang good to me. So I don't know. I wonder which one, if you saw the same one, but go on.
Yeah. But you started talking about, you know, it's, I think the only thing I did read that, you know, when it first came out, people had lower opinions of it and it has since like climbed the ranks in horror, like horror Hall of Famedom and also Bava. Like it climbed the ranks of Bava movies as well. I think its biggest fault is that you said it, not a lot happens. So there is a lot of like moseying around. There's a lot of characters trying to carry this movie on their backs with very little to do almost.
Yeah. I think not a lot happens. Like there's just not a lot of moves the movie makes, but I think the biggest frustration for me was that it was all hinged on the idea of this ghost killing people. And they spent most of the movie was just characters kind of describing to us how the logic of this supernatural power.
Yeah.
And it just like, it was almost like it was trying to find itself in the movie. Like it was trying to figure it out as you're watching the movie. And it was kind of a frustrating thing where it's like, it almost gave the feeling of what it was probably like for that doctor to go to this village where everyone believes one thing, that you can't discount anything they say with science because they're just not willing to listen. You know, it's like, you know, you can compare it to nowadays people who are believing in crazy conspiracy things, like people sucked into that. It's like anything you tell them, they're going to have an explanation, you know,
and predisposed.
And that's what this movie kind of feels like. It's like, like it doesn't have any, like there's no bottom to the ghost. Like there's no.
Yeah. Wow. That's, you know, that's really succinct. Yeah. That's really good.
And it
kind
of made me, it gave me this frustrating feeling that I didn't necessarily like.
Because while all this is going on, it's just talking heads and the minutes are not moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just remember, you know, looking at the runtime and it was not even half over. And I'm like, this isn't over.
Yeah.
You know, but because it's just, there was another half hour of what you were just describing.
Yeah. And it's a lot of like people just going back and forth between different sets.
like the inn, the Baroness's house. Yeah.
Like the doctor goes to the Graps villa and then like some weird thing happens where he's, I don't know, conked out. He ends up back at somewhere else and then he walks the way back. And then he does that weird thing where he walks through that room 10, 20 times and then he's transported somewhere else. It's like, oh.
Yeah. I had a tough time staying engaged and not being distracted. And even, you know, even the moody, scary bits weren't more than just like moody. They it was like very subdued horror.
Yeah.
If anything, there was never any, I don't know. There was never anything like scary. It's not a scary movie, but even by other standards of movie, like horror movies around this time, there was no like gripping force to be like something that's keeping you engaged because, you know, something is so off the wall or supernatural or frightening. For a 1966 movie, it wasn't there.
Yeah, I think they had a good idea of like how the ghost kills people is that they basically forced the victims into killing themselves in some disgusting manner, which I think is a great idea. Like it's
yeah.
But I think what was missing is that it I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess some of the deaths there you could see a struggle happening, like the one like Nadine when she pushes that like was that candle holder into her chest.
That was danger.
Probably like the best one because it was like a real like you could kind of feel like the inner fight Nadine was having. It's like, I don't want to do this, but there's this force compelling me to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I that's a really awesome idea. I really love that idea. But it just, I don't know. It was like, I don't know.
Especially after, you know, the whole, I mean, the scene where they engage the town witch to come and like protect her.
Yeah.
And the witch is genuinely trying to protect her.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. Yeah. That's, there's so much cool stuff. Yeah. I love that stuff where it was like, there was the witch and the Burgomeister, who's like the head of, he's like the mayor. They're shacked up. Yeah. So you think there's like this, like, so it's like you've got like the spiritual and the government heads of the town keeping everything together. It's like your first instinct is like, oh, there's some conspiracy thing. Like they're controlling this ghost or but really they're just trying to keep the town from going crazy and too many people dying.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of it. That's just kind of it.
But that's the system, right? Yeah. That's the system and it works. There's no B plot to that. There's no ulterior motives.
Yeah. And all it takes is Ruth the witch to just finally get fed up at the end to just go confront the old lady in the house and be like, all right, we're going to have this out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. After it's been 90 minutes. Back to the scene where she's trying to protect Nadine.
Yeah.
Some great effects there where she has to like whip those brambles across Nadine's back. And
so awesome.
Like the brambles must've been coated in red paint because every time she did like blood streaks would appear on Nadine's back.
God, I loved it.
So cool. Like the parents were just horrified, but they needed to let it happen. Yeah.
And she had Nadine, like you don't see it, but she instructs her to wrap something around her torso. Like that'll keep the ghost at bay or whatever. And then you don't see it until like a bunch of scenes later when the doctor is like, he's like, I can't believe you let this witch do this stuff. And it looks like barbed. I forget what he called it, but to us, it looked like barbed wire, right? Wrapped around her. And she's just like laying in bed with a fever with barbed wire wrapped around her torso.
Oh my God.
God.
Yeah. The doctor's just beside himself, but yeah. Don't start bringing your modern medicine, you know, like unless you know what you're up against. Ichabod Crane.
That was also weird. It's like the mother was so annoyed. Like she was like, no, get out of here, doctor. We don't want your science. But like he just like overpowered her, and she was like, she changed her mind. She's like, okay, let's follow his advice, like for no reason.
Right. Well, he overpowered me, I guess.
Yeah, he's, I guess he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Look at his hair.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He did have a nice hair.
He did have he had nice hair. And his overcoat.
That overcoat. Oh, him walking like, through the ruins of the village.
Yeah, my God. Is this the outfit I need when we go to the Ren Faire, Chuck?
Imagine that thing just billowing. You can't help it.
Oh, my God.
You could take, you could take scenes of like just his back walking through there. You could put that in one of these new Star Wars shows. Just say it's a Sith or a Jedi walking through some ruins. Same thing, same vibes.
That is, that's right. They're just invoking Bava. They're just invoking what Bava did in 1966.
Yeah.
Please.
I got to get an overcoat. Something like that. A lot of material. I just want flowing material behind. Like imagine walking through the bread aisle, that thing, taking up
God.
The 10 feet behind you.
Yeah.
The billows.
Billowing. You're like cartwheel running it over. Running over the bottom of it, you know?
God.
But once you like pull it out from under the wheel. After the Matrix, did you ever get a trench coat or anything
No.
like that? Did you have one?
No, did you? You did. Oh yeah, we've talked about your trench coat.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a dumb corporate working man's trench coat that I tried to pull off as cool. London Fog. It was a London Fog trench coat.
God. Love London Fog.
And it was definitely like, I'm 5'9". I'm not anything special, but they only had the tall version of the size I needed. Of course I had to buy it because I needed it right then and there.
Yeah.
So yeah, like the cart, me walking on the bottom of the coat while wearing it, cartwheels.
Cruising around the mall.
Dodge Shadow doors, that kind of thing was all intimate with my jacket. Dumb.
I love imagining you trying to get all that material into the giant shadow so you can close the door.
Yeah. I mean, what I needed was this coat from this movie trying to get in my Dodge shadow. Way better.
I love the opening when it is very Dracula where the stagecoach driver is like, sorry, dude, this is as far as I go. There's bad stuff in that village, so you're gonna have to hoof it from the rest of the way. I love that. That's always a great sign.
I love that.
Yeah, I learned a few fun things from some of the commentary I listened to. The actors only got paid for 2 weeks of work, or like they only got like I don't know, like a fourth of their payment because the production ran out of money. But everyone on the set agreed to finish the movie for the love because everyone respected Bava so much, apparently.
Like, dang. Right,
we're going to finish this. And apparently Bava was never even paid.
Wow.
Never got paid for this movie. But you wouldn't see it on screen because it is a fetching movie.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I think it was just like the company that bankrolled it ran out of money. And this movie has a bunch of titles. It's, original title is Operazione Paura, which is Operation Fear, which is like just doesn't describe this movie at all.
Right. No, doesn't. This Baroness.
Okay, this Baroness.
And her look.
Yeah. Lay it on me. What?
What was the story? I mean, she looked like she was dead, right?
I know.
Or was she just a young person who was made up to look old because she was supposed to be an old baroness?
Yeah, I think she was.
There was something going on.
Yeah, I think she was younger than what she was playing. And it was like, her too, it was like, what was it? Like, she's not a ghost. She's just a normal person sending her dead daughter's spirit out there to cause havoc, to kill people. Like, that's basically what, you know, she's the bad patient, you know, she's the bad guy in this, like ordering her little girl to laugh and kill people.
Means.
Exactly.
So mean.
But God, I mean, how about her? I mean, Every room in that house, incredible.
Oh, dude.
The mom's bedroom, and then they go into little Melissa's bedroom. She's like, it's just as it is since the day she died. I haven't touched a thing. Melissa liked to have everything in its right place. let's talk about the money in the heart. I love details like this. This is something I don't think I've ever heard. If this is a true superstition that they used to do to like keep ghosts from happening, is using a knife to shove a coin into a dead person's heart. Just wow. I mean,
yeah. That was I'd like to know if this was storytelling for the movie, or was this an old superstition that they brought back, because it was this cool element to the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it certainly like put the doctor into a tizzy.
He was pissed.
He was, yeah, he couldn't like,
this
handle
is a, it. This is absurd. I just cut open this person and there's a coin in her heart. How did he know to cut open the heart?
I know, to go for the heart. Yeah, like you're busting through rib cages at that point. Like,
it's very thorough, I guess. Very thorough.
Yeah. He's got nothing better to do, I guess.
Yeah. But I could see the coin being a real thing that maybe happened, because it does remind me of like the, you know, pennies on the eyes that you know, so you can pay.
Yeah.
You pay the
boatman.
Yeah, to go across the river into the afterlife or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something like that, so you're not stuck on the shore haunting the town. Apparently all this music is like leftover stuff from other Bava movies and just like canned. Like they didn't have anyone do an original score for this. But did you hear this killer bass line that's used? I loved it. It's like, it sounds like a little bit of an organ or synthesizer, and then this bass line that goes, ooh, 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 ooh. I love it.
But yeah, that was the coolest part for sure. That bass line is infectious.
Yes. I missed the, was he the inspector? The one character who's there, the other like sort of, you know, he's not from this town. He's there to solve the murders. I love this guy. He had such a chip on his goddamn shoulder, Dale. Oh. He was so angry. And he was so frustrated dealing with these common peasants. And he called them, peasants to their face. This guy was so mad. And I was sorely disappointed that he just gets off screen. We don't even get to see it. Because I was like, all right, this character might engage me. Because our main dude is like, he's just this handsome doctor who's just kind of ineffectual for most of the movie. But this guy was angry. And that's something I can get behind, him just like barreling through this movie.
Yeah, because at least you're guaranteed like some impulsive decisions or some action taken.
Totally.
Whether it be right or wrong. Yeah, like he was like more of a, he wanted that runtime. He wanted the movie to move, you know?
Yeah.
For us, for our sakes.
Yeah. He got out as soon as he could.
Yeah. He cared.
There's the Burgomeister. I learned this. He's not an actor. He was like the set decorator or something. And Baba convinced him to shave his head and play this role.
Wow.
But great. I mean, you could tell the lighting, the care taken to light this guy's shaved head. Like it was taken very seriously because it was incredible. It's just the shine and the shadows laying on this head. It's very striking.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, they knew what they were doing.
If anything.
Against the bald human head.
Yeah. I would have named the witch anything but Ruth. Didn't the name Ruth maybe in 65, Ruth had a different meaning or different
edge to it. Yeah.
I don't know. 2023, Ruth just doesn't do it for me.
Right.
No.
Not for a witch character. It just doesn't seem...
Yeah. Like before we see her, the innkeeper's like, go get Ruth. And I was like, who's like, Ruth?
The scullery maid.
Yeah.
Is she like a permanent resident at the inn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go get Ruth.
Go get Ruth.
She shows up, man. She starts taking action.
Yeah. Oh, man.
She probably hears that all her life. You do not look like a Ruth. As she's like whipping their children with the morning glory vines.
You know, Ruth doesn't suit you. Do you ever think about changing your name?
Yeah. She's like, no, I Whip. Quite. Yeah. Gosh. Just something to talk about.
Yeah.
While she's protecting. mid protection spell.
Another day at the office for her.
But yeah. That was that. That's I'm.
Yeah, we're. Yeah.
Kill baby kill.
Let's. I smell that disgusting musty old sack, Dale. I can smell it from here.
Sorry, I drag it up from the basement before we record because if I don't do it, then I will forget, and then we won't have a mailbag segment. So
understandable.
Yeah, it's kind of just like sitting here.
You don't want that thing stinking up your living quarters.
No, not at all. Reach on out to us if you'd like. 315-544-0966. That's the official Bat and Spider hotline. Or email us voice memos, written word, pictures, etc. batandspiderpod@gmail.com.
While you dig up those letters, Dale, one more piece of trivia from Kill Baby Kill. When the film was released in West Germany, 1970, what was the German title? What was it translated to in English? Could you guess?
It wasn't. So it was a German title to this movie. What was it translated to in English?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just. What was the German title?
Herr Burgermeister's Herr Burgermeister's trial with Ruth.
I love that. Nope, they called it The Dead Eyes of Dr. Dracula. God.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
What?
Wow.
Whoever bought the rights to that in Germany didn't even bother watching the movie.
Yeah, yeah. They're just like, you know what? Name it something. Just name it something. We got to get them. Got to get them in.
Let's throw Dracula on there.
Yeah.
Dr. Dracula. At least they didn't say Dr. Acula.
Let's see. I got the mailbag open.
Okay.
Looks like, Chuck, this week we have an email from Hobo Salary.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. Hobo goes on to say, enjoyed your episode on Evil Dead Trap last week. Chuck, you mentioned folks may be turned off by the name, thinking it an Evil Dead ripoff. Don't know if it's on your radar, but Bloody Muscle Builder in Hell, aka the Japanese Evil Dead, is just such a movie. With a runtime of just over an hour, you owe it to yourself to give it a watch. Wow. Hobo Salary, bringing in the hits.
Oh my. Okay. It's on my watch list already.
Was it Bloody Muscle Builder?
Bloody Muscle Bodybuilder in Hell.
1995. Oh my God. Look at this big image there at the top.
I know.
With the doll. Oh my God.
It looks like it's on Shudder and Tubi.
Wow. We got some high marks here.
Yeah.
Yoli. Yoli, Dirk Feelgood, J Whale. Jeez.
Wow. When did all these folks watch this? Did we miss this?
Sick. Yoli probably watched it at some cool theater. New Beverly.
Yeah.
Cinema night. Night at the cinema.
Bloody muscle bodybuilder in Hell. God. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Hobo. with that's the end of the mail segment, Chuck.
Okay.
To be honest with you, it's over now. thank you everybody who wrote in. With that, Chuck.
Yeah.
It's time. It's time for you to pick a movie. Yeah, a minute 48. Wow, we are blessing ourselves with a 50-minute episode this week.
Dale, our Kofi app's way longer than this.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And we only talked about one movie.
I know.
Two movies.
All right, I got to pick a movie. Okay.
What would be your favorite, Chuck, not to distract you? You distract me a lot.
Distract me.
What would your favorite song be off of One Fierce Beer Coaster?
Oh my God, I have no idea. The one about sitting down to pee? You know that one?
I wish I were queer so I could get chicks.
Oh God, never mind. Never mind. Cut this.
Okay. I like the one with Rob Van Winkle. That's a good song.
Is that Vanilla Ice?
Yeah.
Oh. I think I remember not knowing what a beer coaster was. So I didn't get the joke. Oh.
For sure. It's just a coaster, right?
Yeah. It's a coaster. You know, they're saying the CD isn't as worthless as a coaster for your drink.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Big joke there.
Going Nowhere Slow. I like that song. Rock on, we'll be gone so long. Everywhere you go. Oh my God. What's the Rob Van Winkle song? Is that that one? Yo. Bloodhound Gang and Rob Van Winkle together on this track.
Oh my God.
Remember?
It comes back to me a little bit.
Boom. Oh, that's it. Must be called Boom. Heavy like a Tyson blow to the dome. Jimmy Pop Ali, lead singer of the Bloodhound Gang, Philadelphia Boy.
Wow. What was that? And didn't they have an association with another band, or there was like a splinter group?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Or was that a beef? Did they have a beef with
I don't know. I think it was maybe kind of a beef because there was this guy in the band called Daddy Longlegs, and he left the band, I think, even before One Fierce Beer Coaster.
Okay.
And he started another band, Daddy Longlegs. I'm reaching back into I was on like the AOL Bloodhound Gang mailing list.
Wow. Was it Wolfpack? Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Are you right about that? It was like Bloodhound Gang's version of like ICP and Twisted. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's like Bloodhound Gang.
Oh, yeah.
Bloodhound Gang Association Groups. In July 2023, Jimmy Pop said that he was still working on making Bloodhound Gang music and that the band has not broken up. Thank you, Jimmy, for telling us. Wolfpack, yeah.
Wolfpack. That's it? Wow.
Wolfpack is an American rap rock group formed in 97 by Michael Bowe, who uses the stage name Daddy Longlegs. Wow. He founded Wolfpack after departing Bloodhound Gang. Wow.
And I'd never heard a piece of Wolfpack music. Like, I don't even know why. It must have been some internet site I was reading.
It's probably AOL Bloodhound Gang mail list. In 2017, the band appeared on Comic Book Men, Season 6, Episode 11, where they sold a lamp prop from A Christmas Story to help fund their upcoming tour.
Huh.
Well, like what? They like put
like
gas
one?
In the van? Like put gas in the van when they sold this leg lamp? Or was it just another lamp that was in the house, not the leg lamp? This is a lamp from the movie Christmas Story.
It was just another lamp. Not that lamp. Sorry.
Yeah, not that lamp, everybody. Sorry to get your hopes up. Yeah. The big letdown on Comic Book Men.
Yeah. They probably called all the experts in from across town for that one.
Yeah, right. when you tell me in Comic Book Men, Season 6,
I know.
Episode 11, season 6. Its lyrical style draws from horrorcore.
Is that like Gravediggers? Is that considered horrorcore?
That's a good question. I don't know. Does the Gravediggers focus on subjects such as resurrection, revenge, necrophilia, and standing up for one's own beliefs?
I don't know about that last one, but what do they consider themselves? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. Oh, they're the ones who pioneered the horrorcore genre.
Whoa.
You've heard that Gravediggers, that first Gravediggers record, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Incredible.
Gravediggers.
Yeah.
Ghetto Boys. Mm-hmm. 6 feet deep. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the Bloodhound Gang here while you search for a movie. God, I'm listening to this album tomorrow. I miss it. One Fierce Beer Coaster and then Hooray for Boobies. Mainstays.
Oh, okay.
Mainstays.
I was out of the game for Hooray for Boobies, but I remember the singles because those videos were...
Oh, they were like
all over the like. The
that was
box.
Peak Bloodhound Gang. Yeah. Yeah, that was peak.
Yeah.
The Bad Touch.
Yeah, yeah. Did Beer Coaster have a hit? Like how did I hear? How did Little Chuck know that? There must have been some radio hit.
Oh yeah, that was the roof.
Oh,
was on fire.
Of course. Yeah.
Right. That was a box. That was on the box too. Hardcore. That one was That went white hot.
I know. It's crazy.
Firewater Burn was white hot for the Bloodhound Gang. Like, it launched them.
You know what? All right, Dale, I got a pick.
He's got one.
I got one. All right, from 1991. Dale, we're going to watch a family picture next week.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, Halloween's over. You know, spooky season's over.
Yeah.
It's time for giving thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to pick a movie that the whole family can enjoy. You can watch this one with your children, probably. All right?
Okay.
We're going to watch, from 1991, My Grandpa is a Vampire.
My Grandpa is a Vampire. This sounds extremely familiar. My Grandpa?
I may have talked about it. Grandpa with a D. I may have talked about it like a year ago.
Oh, my God. With actual grandpa Al Lewis.
Yeah.
Wow.
Flying down
what's
to
happening?
Australia to shoot this movie. It does have an alternate title, which I think is far superior, called Grandpire.
I love it. Oh. Young Lonnie comes from America to visit his Auntie Leia and grandfather Cougar. There is something magical about Cougar when he dies. He doesn't stay dead for long.
Mm-mm.
Hello. This one, Chuck,
yeah.
Shall we tell everybody where it's on?
And anywhere you can rent a movie, too. It's also on Screambox? Zumo Play? You know, everyone who has Zumo Play?
Oh, yeah. Everybody lining up for that thing. Zumo Play.
Something called MP. Something called C. Just the letter C. But yeah. I think Severn put a disc of this out like a year or two ago. And that's how I knew about this.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know. It might be fun to watch a family film.
Yeah. I mean, we're allowed. It's our show.
Yeah. Goddamn right.
You know?
Yeah. And I love Al Lewis. If you can't get behind watching an Al Lewis movie, I don't want to know your name. I'm going to be honest.
Exactly. So that's pretty much amounts to it's happening, folks. Next week, My Grandpa is a Vampire, directed by David Blythe, who directed other movies.
Oh, yeah. Death Warmed Up. I feel like I've heard of that.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Alpha's Magical Christmas.
Wow.
1994. It's cute. David Blythe's Damn Laser Vampires from 2011.
Whoa.
Yeah. Let's let's hold your horses, everybody. Yeah. Don't start talking about it now. We're going to start talking about it next week. So until then, go to batandspider.com. Go to ko-fi.com/batandspider, because if it's not up yet, it will be coming up very soon. Anna Gould back on the show to talk about Carrie 2 and another movie that we're not even going to bring up. We're only going to talk about it on the Black Dungeon episode, because it is that
hot topic.
Hot that is that hot of a topic, and is that depraved?
Yeah.
So stay tuned and listen in for that. If you support us on Ko-fi, throw us any amount of support, aka money, you unlock the back catalog of all the episodes.
Yeah.
Boom.
A lot of gold
just
up
like
there.
That. A lot of gold up there. Chuck. Chuck, until next week.
Till next week. Good night, Herr Burgermeister.
Okay.
Don't forget to shine your head before you go to sleep.
Love you.
I love you.
Bye. Bye. I didn't know what to say in response because you used all the words from the movie that I could. I was just going to say Herr Baroness back, and that's would just been dumb.
Do you say Burgomeister or Burgermeister?
I say Burgermeister.
Because that's what it sounds like everyone says. But
yeah.
It's not spelled like that, so.
No. No, it's not.
Where do you think this took place?
And I take umbrage with the spelling.
Where do you think that, what country was this supposed to be, that movie?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. This is like the
Switzerland,
generic.
Maybe?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Maybe Switzerland or Amsterdam, yeah. Austria. Somewhere over there.
Something Dutch.
Like where, something Dutch, where the Hammer Frankenstein movies take place. Yeah. Or the second one where the doctor moves out of wherever he was into some unknown
town. Cross state lines.
Yes, yeah, Swiss
Texas,
village.
From Oklahoma.
Where he can't be extricated.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of here.
All right, bye. Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.